Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Nick Gary joining us in the sports bar, AM 950, 95.7 FM. You can hear him on the pregame for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, our Radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. Nate, how you holding up, man?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Well, Nate, I would imagine that was a very interesting show Saturday night. Now that we've had a couple days to reflect on all this, if you had to assign the blame, who gets the lion's share in that game?
Yeah, so Saturday, actually, guys, was more of like a eulogy. It sounded like I was at a funeral more than it was, me at a Bills postgame show. But, if I had to cast blame, I wrote this in my piece, which is up at WGR550.com. It's really difficult for me, guys, to cast the blame on the defense. And I know it's probably the most convenient scapegoat here is the defense, because this is a team that had a 16-point lead going into the half. And then at the six-minute mark of the third quarter is when Deshaun Watson just became Michael Jordan and just became unstoppable. And I think, to me, guys, this is an offense in the Bills, of course, who, and Mike Schoep was just talking about it in my way, and I was listening in our sister station, WGR 550, and he was mentioning, this is an offense that ranks 24th at its highest point this year on total offense and total yards this season. They simply did not do enough, and I think, too, guys, the point that should be driven home is 16 points, one touchdown in 5 hours of football is not acceptable, really, under any circumstances. And especially considering the team, the defense, who was ranked at the bottom of the league in most statistical categories, even the important ones like efficiency, there was no real excuse for the offense not to put more points up on the board. And I put this in my piece as well, guys. 4 weeks ago is the time I want everyone to kind of look back to, and not for the Bills, but from around the league in Houston. Houston hosted the Denver Broncos 4 weeks ago, week 15 of the regular season. Drew Lock, making his second career start as a rookie quarterback, threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and hung 38 points in Houston at NRG Stadium 4 weeks before that game. So if that doesn't do enough for you to kind of figure out who you should be putting the blame on, I don't know that you'll ever really come to a decision fully on who should be to blame.
Yeah, I mean, my first gut reaction after the game was the quarterback needs to be better. And throughout the course of the game, you saw moments where like, wow, I can't believe he made that throw. And this is the whole season, really, in a nutshell. Yeah. You can't believe he made that throw. But then they're like, what is he thinking there? And why isn't he protecting the football better there? But it went beyond Allen, actually. I felt like there were plays left on the field by a lot of Buffalo Bills on the offensive side of the ball. The execution, which is a cliche that you hear coaches say over and over again, but really, no, truly, the execution was just off a hair for this Buffalo Bills offense. And for me, it comes back to the quarterback one, but overall, if you're going to look at the offense as a whole, it's just a general lack of talent that I think they need to improve on here this offseason.
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. I might make an argument that Josh Allen might have had his best half of his career. It's right up there. If it's not the best, it's probably the second or third most consistent from drive to drive all half long, other than the last drive where they settled for a field goal to go to 13-0 at the half. I thought it was a huge, huge mistake. And I don't know, I think ultimately we're going to end up being able to blame Josh Allen in this situation. There was a kill call on the field on that 1st and 10, 30 seconds left. They turn around, hand the ball off to Frank Gore, who gets tackled for a loss. They scramble, they lose 10 seconds, they spike the ball, give a Hail Mary shot at the end zone, and settle for a field goal. To me, that screams, we're here for the field goal. And that, to me, is a mindset and a mind frame that needs to be remedied going into next season. You can't do any – there is no player personnel you can change. You can't change quarterbacks. You can't change linemen. You have to change the way that you approach that situation. And for me, the Bills simply, in those types of situations all year long, simply were too conservative. You can go back to the Cleveland game, a similar situation. You can go back to these games where they were one-score games, and the Bills had opportunities earlier in the game to put their foot on the throat, and they just did not do it. It's almost like they're scared to embarrass their opponent. They want to sort of give their opponent the benefit of the doubt and keep the game close, because it's 16-0, guys. I mean, hell, it should have easily been 24-0,
yeah.
And it wasn't. And I think that's really where I start to fall back on is, yes, that's a coaching thing. But I think to the point about Josh Allen is, yeah, I thought he played a really good first half. The second half, it unraveled. But, guys, it unraveled in ways that I just have. Like, this was an offense and a group that no matter the situation, they remained composed. They were in their best. They put their best foot forward, and if they didn't complete the pass, if they didn't complete the comeback or the win, it wasn't because they weren't composed. I mean, we saw stuff, guys, from John Brown, that sideline side tap. There was two instances where John Brown was just standing out of bounds. That is inexcusable. And then I think it was later in the second half, or maybe it was the first half, where John Brown sort of catches the ball on a perfectly thrown Josh Allen ball, and he jumps out of bounds instead of dragging his feet like he does in his sleep. And then you have the lateral back with a minute on the clock with Josh Allen trying to go down. There were things in that football game that were so unlike what we've seen a Sean McDermott coach team do during the course of a game and crunch time. And to me, you know, the crazy part is people that want to blame the defense. The defense gave them the opportunity to come back with a minute left. You know, like the defense held on four downs, two from 1 yard. And gave the Bills an opportunity to go back down. They ultimately tie. So for me, it's really hard to blame the defense, guys. Just decision making and composure, things that I never really thought I'd critique of a Sean McDermott coach team, were on full display on Saturday.
Nate Geary, who you will hear next season on the Bills pre, post, and halftime show on the radio network, will be joining us next year, joining us here today in the sports bar. Nate, going into the week, the talk was, all right, we're going to see Duke Williams. Well, not only did we see him, not many of us, certainly not me, thought he would be leading the league team in targets. More than Cole Beasley, he was on the field. What did you think of all that? Was that something that just kind of happened by the flow of the game, or was this actually the game plan going in? Is that easy second guess here?
Well, I think it was the game plan, guys. And I think what it speaks to is a significant mishap or a miscalculation on the part of this offensive coaching staff and maybe the coaching staff in general. Because if you are including Duke Williams to the level that you are in a wild card do or die playoff game, why in the hell has he been sitting on the sideline in street clothes for 3 months? To me, there's just no excuse. And listen, there are a lot of people out there that were, you know, standing and absolutely every week, guys, we took phone calls. Why wasn't Duke Williams in? Why wasn't Duke Williams in? There was a Duke Williams pregame tracker, for God's sakes, where every Bills media member was determining, we were doing our best to find out who's on the field throwing with Davis Webb. Who are the practice squad guys? Just Duke Williams out there. And for that to be going on all season, really from the preseason and on, for him not to be in the lineup, but be such a significant part of this offense the final week and then into the first do-or-die matchup of their careers, like that is just inexcusable to me. Duke Williams should have been a larger part of this offense. He should have been in every week. And for the people that say, well, you know, Robert Foster's a gunner on special teams, BS, who cares? Like, you can go find another fast guy to cover punt. You know, you're punting the ball five times a game. This guy had 10 targets offensively. So, you know, I'm not buying the special teams angle that Robert Foster needed to be in the lineup. They misused Foster, and they grossly misused Duke Williams, I thought, this season. And it really hurt their offense as a whole. So what they do with the number one wide receiver position is going to be first on my mind this offseason. And, you know, I've got a few ideas and a few thoughts on what they should do. But ultimately, they've got to want to do it. And I think they do. I think they understand what they need. And at the end of the day, you need the quarterback to be better. And I think the easiest way to get him better is add a piece up front. give him a legitimate number one wide receiver.
Nate, talking about the offense, we know that Brian Daboll interviewed with Cleveland for their head coaching opening. I don't know that he gets that job. I think he's probably a long shot to land in Cleveland, although it is Cleveland, so you have to factor that in. And I just wonder to myself, how does Josh Allen's development suffer if Brian Daboll does indeed leave Buffalo this season?
Well, I think the easy answer is that most of us shouldn't want Brian Daboll to move on. And I think I agree with you. I don't really think he's a legitimate player for a head coach position right now this year. But I do think he is going to be in fashion as the years come along, especially with if the growth potential of Josh Allen continues on this sort of graph right now. We see low, medium. I think the ceiling is there for him to get better next year. And if he can get better next year, Brian Daboll is going to be a hot commodity across the league. Having said that, I guess it would depend on who they determined that would be the replacement. Are they going to stay in house and go with a Ken Dorsey who's never called plays before? Do you go out and try to get a guy like Kellen Moore, who's a young guy who flamed out 1 year in Dallas? You know, do you go out and try to get a guy that doesn't get a head coaching gig or maybe that was fired in the previous year that maybe you could use as a play caller? I don't know, guys. I look at it like this. The best case scenario is Brian Daboll coming back. And I know that's not exactly music to everyone's ears because they have a lot of gripes with Brian Daboll. But other than a couple of head-scratching run calls from game to game, I think with better execution, that this is probably a 12-win football team offensively if they had better execution all season and were more consistent. So having said that, if it's execution, I can't really put that on the offensive coordinator. So for me, I'm glad and I hope that Brian Daboll will be back. I will be glad if Brian Daboll's back next year for continuity purposes and for directing the quarterback in the right direction. I mean, Josh Allen's been very outspoken about his desire to continue working with Daboll. So having said all that, guys, I'd like to see Daboll back, and I think if they could add some pieces offensively to help their cause, I think that'll be a big step forward.
Nate Geary, who you hear on the Bills Radio Network, our guest here in the Sports Bar. So, Nate, 10 a.m. tomorrow, we'll have the season-ending wrap-up press conference. Every team is required to do one of these with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. My expectations for McDermott giving us something to chew on, not high, but at least Brandon Bean will be speaking for the last time. Well, gosh, we don't know. So what would it be?
Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah, maybe. What would it be that you would like to learn from Brandon Bean tomorrow?
You know, here's the thing. Brandon Bean is kind of like the international man of mystery, right? Like, we don't get to hear from him a lot. It's usually something cool. We get good information. Kind of the exact opposite of what we get from Sean McDermott. So I am looking forward to hearing what he does have to say. I think maybe most importantly or most intriguingly, what I'm looking for or looking for them to at least address in this is the development of Josh Allen, where they actually, we're not going to really know. Of course, they're going to say all the right things. He's our guy moving forward. He's developed into exactly the kind of player we thought he would, blah, blah, blah. But I'd also like to know, what it is that you thought he didn't do well this year. What are the areas you'd really like to see Josh improve in? And understanding that, I think if he can give us answers and a look into there, I think we have a really good understanding and idea of what they're going to prioritize this offseason. So, I don't think we're going to get too many specifics, but I would like to know from a general manager standpoint, where he believes Josh Allen needs to improve to take this team to the next level. And I think secondly is what they plan on doing with the veteran position on this team. And what I mean is they're likely going to lose both offensively and defensively their two sort of elder statesmen in Lorenzo Alexander, who has already confirmed he's retired, and Frank Gore, who has not confirmed his retirement yet, but I would be disappointed if the Bills decided to bring him back. And the only reason I say that is I think, we've gotten everything we could have possibly gotten out of Frank Gore. He brought along Devin Singletary to a point where I don't think you need his presence around anymore, and putting him in the game is a liability. I mean, over the last month of the year, he averaged just over 1 yard per carry, and that's just unacceptable for an offense who was utilizing him, for 6 to 12 touches a game. It's just kind of unnecessary. So I'm hoping they can move on and find a legitimate running back, whether he's a young guy or a free agent in the offseason. But I'm interested in what Brandon Bean does and says about how they sort of fill that void in the locker room, because losing Lorenzo and Frank Gore are going to be two difficult positions and men to replace in that locker room.
Nate, we know that the season's over for the Buffalo Bills, but I'm curious what you do this offseason. I know we're going to have a chance to talk to you here as we get closer and closer to training camp.
So if I was in my ideal world, I'd be down south golfing every day.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not, so I'll be hitting the local indoor golfing domes this
Shoulder's
year.
Doing all right and, then, Nate.
Back in action. I'm back in action. I'm swinging the golf club around, so I'll be all right. So I'll practice on my golf game this year. I'll be working hard. Draft time right about now is when, well, actually, usually about 2 weeks ago, I usually start putting on the film of some college players, some of the top guys in the first round, and some of the depth quarterbacks in the draft. So that's going to start here in the next couple days where I, you know, kick my feet up after work and watch some game film of some college quarterbacks and positions of need for the Bills, and then you know, go from there. So it's a pretty quiet off season for me. I'll still be hosting on Saturday afternoon, 11 to 2 on WGR for Sports Talk Saturday every week. You can catch me there. Otherwise, you know, I go into hiding for football season.
Well, Nate, you're the best. Appreciate it. Next season can't get here soon enough. Nate, thanks for your time this season.
Heard that, fellas. Appreciate it. And thanks as always. And, you know, look forward to next season in the draft.
You got it, buddy. Nate Geary, WGR, our guest here on the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
It's funny how, like, a playoff game, like, you're thinking, all right, you know, admit it. You're thinking, Kansas City or Baltimore? Wow. You're thinking that matchup in the back of your mind in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden you're back at minicamp.
All of a sudden Deshaun Watson becomes Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen becomes Josh Allen. And it's funny, as we were talking to Nate, highly questionables on the big screen here, and Lebatard and his cohorts are just, they're clowning on Allen. They just can't stop laughing at him.
Right.
Because you see the highlights and the lowlights. You see the highlights of Deshaun Watson doing amazing, carrying three guys across the goal line and evading a sack from two guys to deliver a pass to Tywan Jones. It cinches the game. And then you see Allen taking an inexplicable sack where he just keeps falling back and back, the lateral, and just
the bomb to Patrick DeMarco.
Oh, just it's terrible.
They're not showing the catch from John Brown in a touchdown, okay? If you put a low light reel, that is not an NFL quarterback. I'm sorry. And Josh Allen, had the Bills lost the game because he decided to inexplicably lateral, can you imagine if Houston recovered that? What would we be talking about today? What will we be talking about today? That's how close this guy is.
We're already talking about the questionable decision making, and we've been talking about it all year. And maybe that's what this is. It's just a roller coaster ride, guys. It's just inconsistent play week in and week out. And maybe through some continuity, and maybe if Brian Daboll sticks around another year in this system, you could smooth out some of those rough edges. But man, there is a mentality that comes with his game where he's just not on the level of these guys. He's not on the level of Watson or Mahomes or Jackson.
Now, I'm going to date myself here, but at the beginning, and he's nowhere near Brett Favre, but when Brett Favre started out, the cliche with Brett Favre is he's the little girl with the curl. When he's good, he can be very good. And when he's bad, he's very, very bad. How many times did you hear that if you were of my generation? How did Favre snap out of that? Well, it's going to be up to Daboll to figure out a way to get it through to Josh Allen. Stop with the monkey business and learn how to cradle the ball.
Winning big games, really. I mean, you know, we will forget about all of the ugliness of his game if it results in a victory. I mean, you won't feel good about it, but you're still going to be like, we won. Yeah. Scoreboard says we won. Favre threw plenty of interceptions in big games that they still won. You know, win those big games, and it's one hell of a deodorant for ugly play. We've got to get to NFL appetizers next in the Sports Bar. Man, NFL appetizers, so many different news and notes and stories that we're following. We haven't even talked about Tua. We got to get into the Cowboys and what the Patriots might be doing. NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We go around the NFL. News and notes next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.